Thank you, Gary. Thank you, worship team. There's a stretch of Interstate 29 that I jokingly refer to as the Bermuda Triangle. I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota. I've made the trip from Fargo to Sioux Falls more times than I can count. If you've made that trip more than once, you probably know what I'm referring to, but there's a section of interstate from the North Dakota-South Dakota border to the north to about the Summit exit, Highway 12, the one that goes to Aberdeen. Sometimes it goes as far south to Watertown, but that is where anything, for at least for me, that can go wrong when I'm traveling goes wrong. It could be, you know, sunshine, and it could be cold, but sunshine, roads are dry, and I get to about Summit, and it's like, boom, ground blizzard time. And there's just wind and snow and stuff, coming across the road. Summertime, same type of deal. It could be not a cloud in the sky. You get over those hills, and it's hailing and rain and all kinds of things. A couple of stories. When I was coming back from college, as a freshman, I think I was, they had closed Interstate the day we were supposed to go home. And my ride was, she lived in Minot. She was a foreign exchange student from China, and her host home or something like that was in Minot. And she was going to pick another gal up in Bismarck and then pick me up in Fargo. And her winter driving, it lacked experience. And so she had a little, little sedan, four-door type car, picked us up in Fargo, and we get to that same stretch, and the roads were fine until that stretch, and then all of a sudden the drift started, and she's basically skiing with her car. I mean, we're hitting drifts, and like it's a mogul type thing. But my craziest story on that stretch was actually when I was in high school. It was summertime, and Mom and Dad were taking our family to Colorado for a week out in Estes Park, and so we packed our 1988 Chevrolet Astrovan to the gills. We did not travel light. And Burke did it again. No, I'm not back. You're back. All right. Well, you're in control again. So, but we had packed the car carrier from Sears, and we had loaded that thing. Because when you're in North Dakota, going to Colorado, my mom was like, it could snow. So we packed for cold weather, and it could be, really hot, so we packed for water parks, apparently. I mean, we brought every type of clothing that we could bring, and we get to that stretch of highway, and this really strong crosswind from the west just, boom, shook our van and took that carrier off our van. And not only the carrier, but it took the rails, and it took the bolts. I mean, it just stripped it clean off, and so we're playing human Frogger, trying to, grab our stuff as cars are whizzing by. I'm not exaggerating that story because when we were married and our family was growing, well, I'm still married, not we're married. whatever. Our family was growing, and Trina was like, we need one of those. I'm like, no, we don't. We do not need one of those. And she's like, why? And I told her the story. And so we did a hitch haul on the back for a while. And then just a couple of years ago, we got a soft top carrier that I strap really well and then pull off about every half hour to check and make sure that things are okay. I think that story is a good image for maybe how I head into the holidays, maybe how we head into the holiday season. I think our expectations are good, and we're expecting and excited for these times, for these meals, for these gift exchanges, for these gatherings. We're excited. We're looking forward to it. It's like leaving on a trip. And then it doesn't take much to get into the season or to get into the event or to get into however you celebrate the holiday for like a crosswind to come and knock you off course. And it could be, an old wound. It could be an unforgiven hurt. It could be someone saying something that just doesn't sit well with you. It might be a story or a drama that's been in your family or in your gatherings for years. And boom, it comes up, and you're like, oh, there it is again. And so today we're going to talk about relationships in our Traveling Light series. Kind of funny that I'm speaking today because I am not very good at relationships. So Pastor Doug and I were talking about who would be speaking when, and I wanted to give him a bit of a, a bit of a break here during this season, and so I chose this Sunday, not knowing what the message was on, and then saw that it was about relationships, and he spoke about stuff 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, I want to speak about stuff, because I'm good at that. I am not sentimental at all. I read that book that he had. I read that book before he even knew that was a book. So I would have killed that message. But today I'm going to kill the message in a different way. So I'm going to journey with you today. We're going to start with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. The author of Hebrews writes this: work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. And watch out so that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. The main idea this morning is this: work at living in peace with everyone. And we'll say that some different ways, and we'll talk about that in some different ways, but that's really the idea here, is that we are to work at living in peace with everyone. And if you got a program this morning, there's some notes. The first statement on your notes is this: you cannot control what people do, but you can control your response. And we could spend really all of our time together talking about that, because I know I spend a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of, you know, thinking and thoughts and feelings about trying to either control what other people are thinking, or wondering what they're thinking, or wondering how they perceive something I said or did or that type of thing. And I can't control their response. I can only control my response. And the author here is fairly clear on who we are to be at peace with. He says, everyone. And work at living at peace with everybody. And so that's your coworkers, that's your boss, that's your family, that's your in-laws, that's your neighbors. And during your Christmas time and your Christmas gathering, you can't control what those folks are going to say, or what they're going to do, or what they're going to post, or what they're going to give you, but you can control your response. You and I can get better at responding in ways that align to the faith that we have in Jesus. And the author of Hebrews goes on to connect that working at peace with working at living a holy life. And so the author is trying to make some connection between, you know, working at peace with everyone and working at living a holy life. And it's going to be difficult to grow in holiness. It's going to be difficult for you and me to grow in our faith if we're not working at living peacefully with people. And then, just so we know how important that is, the author throws this in and says, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. So there's this idea of, you know, being in peace with people. And if you're in peace with people, then you're growing in holiness. And if you're growing in holiness, there's a salvation aspect to that of being able to see the Lord. But if you're not in peace with people, it's going to affect your holiness. It may affect your finality or salvation to some degree. Now, that's a lot to get into. I'm not trying to say our salvation is, you know, in danger. But the author of Hebrews is fairly clear that this is important stuff we're talking about today. Jump down to verse 15. The author presents two challenges for you and I to look out for, to watch for. First, look out for one another so that no one fails to receive God's grace. And so that kind of connected to the not seeing the Lord idea. And then second, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And so the author is like, you know, look out for others so that they don't miss out on God's grace. Look out for others so they're going to see the Lord upon his return. But look out for yourself so that bitterness does not grow up in you. Because if it does, you will corrupt many. And there's two problems with bitterness, or at least two problems with bitterness. The first is that it has a dangerous root. And for me, bitterness is something that I can easily see in other people, but I have a difficult time seeing it in myself. And Hebrews is much more concerned with my bitterness and your bitterness than it is with us seeing other people's bitterness. And the reason bitterness is hard to see is because it's got a root. It's like a weed. Bitterness is like a weed. And I'm no, you know, green thumb. I'm no gardener. Every spring when the chem lawn guy comes to my yard, I get it. You know, I would do the same thing. My yard looks like the perfect candidate for his services. But I do not, you know, I do work at trying to pull weeds out. And if you get a weed, but you don't pull the root, it's going to come right back. I'm amazed that weeds grow in basically every type of environment or climate. It can be hot, it can be cold, it can be dry, it can be wet. And those weeds, doesn't matter, they will continue to grow. If you don't get rid of the root, it's coming back. It's the same idea with bitterness. If you don't pull that root of bitterness out, you might think you've got it, but it's going to come back. It's going to come back, and it'll come back. The challenge for me is that I don't see it. The challenge for you is probably you don't see it. I think sometimes I think I'm positive, and I'm graceful, and I'm compassionate, and I'm, you know, the type of person that's trying to grow closer to Jesus. But it doesn't take much for that bitterness to come back, for a stray word or a stray comment to affect someone. I don't see myself defending. I don't see myself complaining. I don't see myself arguing or whining. I don't see that root, but I can see it in other people. So it's got a dangerous root. It also, bitterness also produces a poisonous fruit. And this poisonous fruit is one that corrupts many. You see, my bitterness, your bitterness, just doesn't affect us or you. It affects those that you're connected to. It affects your community. It affects your family, your group, your work. In math, I think they call it the, you know, lowest common denominator. It's a fraction, if I remember correctly. And bitterness is like a lowest common denominator. Bitterness attracts other people who are bitter. So when I'm bitter, when I'm negative, I tend to send that out, and other people who are bitter and negative find me. And it doesn't matter what we're angry or bitter over. I could be bitter about something, and someone else could be bitter about completely something completely different. But like, whoosh, there we are. And we're connected over our bitterness. And Hebrews says, watch out for that. Watch out for that type of bitterness because it corrupts many. Watch out for a workplace where that's the common denominator. Watch out for a family where that is the dominant theme. Heaven forbid our church were to be that type of church where bitterness is the overwhelming theme. Watch out, the author says. Because you're going to corrupt each other, it's going to spread and spread. Well, Merry Christmas. Everyone feeling jolly here this morning? Yeah, let's try to be a little more positive here. So two things you and I can do, two gifts, if you will, that we can give to help get rid of bitterness. And for those gifts, we turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 15 through 18. Romans 12 it's an amazing chapter. If you were to ask me, like, Brian, you know, what's the most important or what chapter of the Bible should I memorize? I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to find one more impactful than Romans 12. But at the end of that chapter is where we're looking at verses 15 through 18. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. And do not be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And do not think that you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable and do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So two things that will help us get rid of our bitterness. The first is compassion. Paul says this, be happy with those who are happy, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And the secret to all that Paul is talking about is compassion. And a good way to maybe summarize some of these verses is something I've seen online from time to time. Maybe you've seen this quote or this saying as well. There's different variations, but the one I found says this, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. And I think each of us has people or groups of people that we are naturally compassionate towards, that we are just wired to be friendlier or kinder or more graceful to. It might be, you know, babies or toddlers. It might be the elderly. It might be a single parent. It might be teenagers, college students. You have a group of people that you just naturally are better with, naturally more graceful to, naturally more kind to. For my wife, it's really old people. Just she has a soft spot for the super elderly. No one here fits that, okay? So I'm not talking about anyone here. But for me, I get a little more annoyed with that group of people. Like, come on, why do you still have a license? Why are you shopping right now? You should not be shopping. Someone should be doing this for you. Right? You each have that group of people you are a little more kinder towards. And so the trick with compassion is to expand your circle, to expand that group of people that you are kinder to. Because we each have people that maybe we are not as compassionate towards, that we are not as graceful or kind to. And so to be a compassionate person who's trying to live a life closer to Jesus is to expand that circle, to grow with your compassion and kindness to people that you're not naturally kind or compassionate with. And the second way for you and I to root out bitterness is through forgiveness. And there's a lot to say about forgiveness. I'm not going to be able to unpack everything about forgiveness this morning. I'm sure Pastor Doug has done and will do messages on forgiveness, you know, whole messages on forgiveness. But Romans 12 from Paul, the baseline for forgiveness, the minimum, if you will, is this, not to repay evil with evil. And in our holiday season, our relationships and traveling light, you know, if a family member or a friend or someone has wronged you in some way, then the baseline is to not try and get even with that person. The baseline is to not repay evil with evil. The baseline is if someone's hurt you with their words, you don't hurt them with your words. If someone has done something bad to you, you don't try to get even. Because that's how bitterness continues to grow and grow. And so forgiveness for you this season, this where you're at in your journey, or where I'm at in my journey, it doesn't need to look like, you know, Kumbaya Hallmark Channel type of forgiveness. I think forgiveness can start with a saying from the medical profession, you know, do no harm. And we maybe don't get complete breakthrough, but I think we can avoid doing more harm. And the kids these days, I think they call it triggered, right? Oh, I'm triggered. This thing you've said is triggering me, or, you know, here's a trigger warning, okay? I think when you gather with friends and with family, I think you know, at least I do, I know what triggers other people. I know what buttons to push. I know what buttons to not push. And so maybe as you're celebrating Christmas this season, you just don't push those buttons. Maybe this is just a wild goal here, but maybe you get through Christmas, you get through the meal and the gift exchange and however you celebrate it by not talking politics. maybe you can just, you know, I'm going to get through this, you know, an hour and a half. I'm not going to say anything. And if someone says something, you can't control that. You can control how you respond. You can just let it go. And maybe this Christmas is a season for real forgiveness, real restoration. The type of forgiveness where you do let go of that thing that you are holding against a family member or somebody else. And when you're able to travel lighter because you let go of something that you're holding against someone. I think sometimes we get a little worried about forgiveness because we think if we forgive someone, that means that we're automatically like besties with them. Or if we forgive someone, that means that we have forgotten what they've done to us. Or that if we forgive them, that means that we have to resume, you know, being in relationship, like close relationship with them. Forgiveness is not about the person that's harmed you. Forgiveness is about you. And as a follower of Jesus, we are called to forgive people as God has forgiven us. And so when you let go of whatever that person has done to you, you rip the root of bitterness out from your heart and make it very difficult for it to grow again. We're going to close this morning with a song that the women are going to come up here and sing. And as we close, we're going to give a second offering. It's our benevolent offering. And when we give this offering, this offering goes to help people both here in Hillcrest and throughout our community with real needs. Earlier this week, if you were here last week with the Christmas musical, there were a bunch of gifts on stage that you gave and that the children gave. And we took those gifts, and the community outreach had this sharing Christmas thing where they took those gifts and they allowed under-resourced people to buy those gifts at a steep discount. And it's such a neat program because it gives people the dignity to be able to provide for their own Christmas without going into a lot of debt that sometimes we do for this season. And so when you give this offering, you're helping organizations like the Community Outreach be able to do amazing things like that. So let me pray for this offering, and then the gals will sing. Father, I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful for this community here. And Father, I pray that we would be a people who grow in compassion and grow in forgiveness. I pray that as we go about this season where we celebrate you, that we extend compassion and forgiveness to coworkers, to neighbors, to friends, to family. That we would be a people as we gather to celebrate you, others would say, man, I can see Jesus in you. As we give this offering to you, we pray that you would use these funds to meet real needs in people that we don't even know. And we thank you for the privilege that we have to give to you this day. We pray these things in your name.